Better on Draft Podcast is part of the PodcastDetroit.com network and is recorded live in the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming in Ferndale, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back. Here is Dan, Nick, Ken, and Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 39 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken, cracking everyone up here right before the show started.
Stretching everyone out.
Yeah, I'm going to start off by introducing again myself. I'm Ken, and I am drinking Glasshouse's Saison. Does it have a name, Rob?
It is Summerhouse.
Summerhouse Saison. Really good, delicious, very smooth. Do you know what the ABV clocks in at or no?
The ABV on that clocks in at 4.2%.
That's not too bad. Definitely drink a bunch of these on a nice summer day for sure. Rob, we'll go back to you. What are you up to?
Oh, you know, just kind of sitting here. Drink some beer.
You ready for your 10 days off?
I'm ready, yeah. Oh, you saw that. Yes, I'm ready for my 10 days off. We are in the midst of plant shutdown, so for the day job, I am off until the 11th. So got my 10 days off there. Of course, I still have trivia to host. So I am hosting on Tuesday and Wednesday, of course, being here next Friday, and then volunteering on Saturday. So it's not like I really have that much of a day off. I still have housework to do as well.
You have more housework now that you're going to be home,
yes,
too.
Yes. Oh, of course. Believe me, the honey-do list.
It was so funny. I told my wife about that phrase, and she never heard it before. It was like, I'm like, just give me a honey-do list. And she's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, a honey-do list. Honey do this. Yes, honey do that.
Right.
And she's like, I thought it was something like, you know, because I grew up in such a prominent city of Troy. That's sarcasm, because if you go even more west, we are definitely I always tell my wife I grew up in the ghetto of Troy.
Yeah.
Because the ghetto of Troy is pretty much everything east of Livernois, because if you go west of Livernois, you pretty much add a one in front of the $100,000
right
for the house.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real thing. She doesn't believe it, but it's a real thing.
It's because on the other side of Livernois, you hire the help. So, you know, those people don't know what a honey-do list is, because it's usually the hand it off to the housekeeper list.
Oh, good point. I'm surprised that in Troy you have to wait until to go into the other side of Livernois, where pretty much in my neighborhood, where it used to be, where it was just the majority of white people, and then the help was in in the smaller houses and in that neighborhood, and they were just right there.
Oh, I am going right on to Matt. What's going on?
Hi, Ken. This actually reminds me of the Straight Outta Compton documentary I just watched.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later.
The Pyrus, for sure. I actually have a Shiner Ruby Redbird right here. It's the grapefruit and ginger-infused wheat ale we'll go with.
Fair enough.
And just 4.01%, because they're definitely trying to crack that 4%. But this is something that is probably going to get crushed tonight.
Oh, you brought 12 of them. So.
I brought 12 of them, yeah.
I'm surprised you only brought one in here.
Oh, I did. There's two more on the floor.
Oh, okay, good.
I don't want to interrupt by getting up.
Got to keep on pace.
Of course.
Dan and Nick are off. Nick is over at the DCFC game. We also have Dan, who is in Europe, so couldn't make it today.
Just a little out of the way.
Just a little out of the way.
A lot.
But I tell you what, it'll be an interesting show, because we do have two podcasters coming in from Toledo, Ohio. The Brew Review crew.
You get it eventually. It takes everyone a little bit to get that one, Brew Review crew.
We got Corey.
Yes.
What are you drinking, Corey?
I'm doing the Summerhouse over there, that Saison. It's really nice. I like it a lot.
All right.
Yeah.
And we got Ron.
Yep, Ron.
What's going on?
Not much. Thanks for having us. I am sipping on a Black Raja, which is a black IPA from the Brew Kettle out of Strongsville, which is a Cleveland area brewery.
It was voted the most underrated brewery in Ohio by Paste Magazine. So
for what was the name of the brewery again?
The Brew Kettle.
The Brew Kettle. All right.
Yeah.
I did go to I've been to a few.
You didn't save any. But yeah. These were for them.
He brought enough to share.
We got to work on the hand signals. Here.
I know what you wanted.
Oh, okay.
It was an empty bottle.
It kind of tastes okay for an Ohio beer.
Hey, it's going to happen. Ooh.
Those are all Ohio gems right there.
We brought the share, but everyone was sipping on that Saison. I was like, well, I'm just going to take this one.
Well, I did bring a nice little bottle of Dogfish Head 75 Minute because I couldn't get to the 2014 BCBS over at 8 Degrees today. So it
Which
was
is understandable.
Shame. Yeah,
that's what they were tapping today. Yeah, I saw the Goose Island logo on the keg, and I kind of thought that was, I mean, it was going to be something heavy.
Yeah, they tapped it at 4, and it was gone by 4:20.
Was this like a migration week or something? They just did this for fun?
They said they found it randomly.
That's hard to lose.
In their little grouping of beers. So, yeah, they're usually on point. It's in downtown over in Midtown. And definitely an interesting place to stop by because it's a beer store that's also like a quasi bar.
Okay.
Like they have a bar that serves draft beer and you can basically drink while you're shopping or you can sit down and actually drink too.
Gotcha. Or you can bring your food in, you can eat and you can drink your beer there too.
And bring your dog. You can bring your dog.
Yes.
Dog
yes. All in one.
It's a free for all.
Do they have the dog beer?
I don't believe so.
No,
they
pretty much just have treats because right next door is Groomers K9 to 5, which is actually where we take both of our dogs. So I mean, it's pretty cool to actually just like take them straight out the Groomers. Like, oh, you know what? I feel like getting some beers. Just walk into the store with your dogs, and they've got treats sitting right there for them.
Oh yeah, they're very very. They love having the dogs there, and I've seen like a bunch of dogs just like chilling. Like, hey, what's up?
Oh yeah,
what's going on?
They do. I think they still do a couple fundraisers every year.
I think they just did one for DDR not too long ago.
Yeah.
That's the Detroit Dog Rescue.
I was going to say, Dance Dance Revolution needs a fundraiser.
They've fallen on hard times.
I haven't seen one of those machines in a long time.
We used to have one over in Oakland Mall up here that I used to play the shit out of that game.
Oh, goodness.
Like you're talking $15 to $20 a day.
Oh, my God.
Every day.
I couldn't even try.
I
couldn't imagine like spinning around.
I had to hold on to the back bar.
What do you do with your upper body? Because I feel like that's half the battle of dancing is upper body moves.
And
all of DDR is just jumping.
Right.
That's why Michael Jackson revolutionized
right.
it. And he put the mitt on.
You had the glove.
So you had the glove with the game.
Yeah.
And that's really what changed the video game experience of dancing.
I hear you.
So the Brew Review crew.
That's yes. right.
Out of Toledo. What do you guys, when did you start your podcast?
The podcast started last summer.
Yeah, we're only about a year into the podcast portion.
But we've been an entity for 3 years, coming up on 3 years now. So we started it on like a Tumblr blog just to keep track of the beers we were having. It was right when we got into craft beer.
All
right.
Yeah.
And then we kind of just got into written reviews. We started a YouTube channel. And then from there, we just started podcasting. So it's kind of just been like a evolution.
Yeah, and normally we start off, you know, like you said, just reviewing stuff, which is kind of where the name comes from. But on our podcast, I mean, we just talk beer news, whatever's out there. I mean, it's not really a review show on the podcast.
No.
But I mean, I actually kind of I'm starting to dig that because it's a different thing than what we normally do. So it's kind of fun.
Well, I think that's why we here at Better on Draft, we don't do a lot of reviews on our own podcast itself because – you know, if I wanted to hear someone talk about what they thought in the notes in the beer, I would go read a Beer Advocate post.
Right. Yep.
Right.
You know, for here, it's more to, you know, it's we call it a Friday night bottle share.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you guys brought bottles. We brought bottles to share. That's the whole point of it is to basically embrace the community within craft beer. So you guys don't rate beer or anything like that within your show. What do you got? You guys talk about news and.
Yeah, you know, beer stories that come out, big kind of overarching topics that might be going on. We have a little game show segment where we try to stump Corey. I read him a description of a beer, and then I go pour it off in a different room, come back, and he's got three guesses.
Trying
to guess the beer?
To guess.
We call it Guess That Beer.
Guess
GDB.
That beer. GDB.
Guess
that. Do you even get multiple choice on that? Or
No.
It's just flat out.
He'll say, what was the last one? The last one was like a new take on an old style with old world hops. Go. And I was like,
I read the commercial description, and he gets three guesses.
And sometimes he'll give us like a general location, like east of the Mississippi.
Yeah,
and that's
But you'd be surprised. Nice you'd be surprised. He's you know, over the course of the podcast, he's batting about 500.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Wow.
And if he doesn't get it, we put it out to our social media, and if somebody can guess it, we send them a little prize pack.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah. So
that's not in our budget.
No. Well,
prize packs are not in our
budget.
It's
stuff we find under the couch.
I was going to say prize packs should be used loosely. It's more of a what do I not want anymore?
Lint, lint and paper clips.
Yes. What beer do I have in this cellar? That's that I just it's not exactly. Like? All right.
And a Canadian
1989 Hop Slam.
I really hope the fans aren't listening. Please don't promote this.
No, it's fine. No, I gave away Scotty Karate because I had like a 6-pack.
Ooh, Scotty Karate.
And I was like, oh, they're from Chicago. They don't get Dark Horse. Why not send it out that way? So, but we have a couple pseudo sponsors. And usually they'll give us some samples of stuff. So we got some bottle caps that turned into pins. And so we gave away bottle caps as one of them. So it's just kind of whatever merchandise we have laying around. Like, yeah. A
little swag here and there.
A little swag.
Yes.
I think we might have to do that for like the third segment and go grab a beer from the fridge and see if we can
oh, geez.
Get it. Now, the only caveat is I have to know that he's had it before. Just some kind of
we'll kick Corey out of the room.
Yeah, I can stay here. I'll let you guys go. We can do that.
But we only have one fridge, sure. And as soon as you open the fridge, you see all its offerings.
Yeah.
It's just PBR and random stuff. New take on an old classic would not work for that. Tastes like tin, not right. Bush Light.
Yeah. Right. I was thinking of just pouring some Franzia over in there.
A box of wine.
I
think Dan's Newcastle's in there, too.
Newcastle. Oh, Newcastle's delicious.
Or we could run right across the street, get a 40, pour that 40 out, and then just see if he can figure out what 40 he's drinking out of.
I could not tell you. I haven't played Ever 40 Hands in a long time.
You don't want to drink the whole 40. Just sample it. Play with your tasting notes.
As if you just reminded me. This is episode 39.
So 40.
All right. So next week.
Oh, yeah.
We're all bringing a 40. I'm bringing a 40 at E40.
There you go.
I found a Miller Lite Ice.
Oh, yeah.
6 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Those are good.
I have saved for such an event. So I will crack a beer that is 6 years expired.
I was going to say, I don't think I've seen Miller Lite. I've seen Bud Ice. And they used to have the jagged bottles, which were the best. But
no, this is Miller Lite Ice. This is one of those
throwback.
That you never go to. You don't even know they have beer, and then you go, and you're like, whoa.
Well, we're actually having the president of the Michigan Brewers Guild on next week, and he's bringing a 42.
That's incredible. Goodness. I'm just going to bring a Colt 45 and hate myself.
Colt 45 is the way to go, though.
Make sure you bring the zigzags, too.
Two of them.
Yeah.
Some Swisher Sweets to go with it.
So speaking of actually next week's show, we're going to be giving away a pair of tickets to the Michigan Brewers Guild Summer Festival. You get early entry. You get two tickets, Friday or Saturday. The choice is yours. Very simple and easy to enter. If you just go to our Facebook page, Better on Draft, there is a link right at the top. It's an app, and it just says MBG Summer Beer Giveaway, and you go and you enter. You can enter up to 5 times. Definitely a fun little thing. Obviously, you don't have to be from Michigan to do it. If you're in Ohio and you want to come up to Ypsilanti, more than welcome to.
Which we are.
Yeah, we are.
Is this context going to be rigged against me too, like the beer giveaway?
The beer giveaway?
Like the beer brewing kit.
The brewing kit giveaway?
I stacked the deck in my favor, and I just totally got railroaded out of that. So.
Stacked the deck in your favor. How many Facebook pages did you make?
One, actually. Actually none. But I feel like I catfished enough people to try to get this going. I mean, I contacted local radio stations and personalities and news producers to share the page. So I think my web was a little bit stronger than some others in Kansas and such.
In case you were wondering, the last rating on Beer Advocate for Miller Lite Ice was August 27th, 2015. So not too far. Before that, September 18th, 2011.
This beer, the beer that I have, it expired in like October 24th.
Where did you find this beer?
At a party store, at a smoke shop at 13 in Gratiot.
Okay, well, I narrowed it down.
I think what's at 13 in Gratiot.
I know.
It's just this little Sam's, or it's like Smoker's Planet or whatnot.
Oh, okay.
And they're just one of those stores that they buy beer and they just shove it in their cooler and, you know, just to get the smokers that are coming and getting their smoker's choice and they need a
it's going to be amazing.
I really want to see how the notes
absolutely
age.
How it holds up. Right.
That glass aged finish.
Right. Yeah. See how it aged.
Well, it'll be interesting.
I appreciate that.
Because we're going to be cracking open probably within the next month or two a bottle of Stroh's. And this is from, based on the label, 1960-something.
Wow.
No Billy Beer?
No Billy Beer.
God, damn.
So we got a couple bottles of Stroh's, and then we have a bottle from E&B, which was bought out by Stroh's in, like, 62. So it's at least,
you know, 54 years old.
So, is that even safe?
I don't know.
Funny,
I
I've asked the same question.
Like, I know they always say nothing in beer can kill you, but I don't know after like 50 years if it can kill you.
Fermentation. I mean, it might, maybe it's got a bunch of alcohol in
it.
Who
knows?
Maybe it'll be like we'll be like the Wolf of Wall Street, where the Quaaludes don't hit us right away, and like a day later we just die because of what's going on. Maybe it just gets so potent, and we just lose it.
Oh, this sucks because this Alesmith Nut Brown that I'm drinking is so good, and I'm gonna have to go buy more before I go home now.
Yeah, that does suck.
My wife is not gonna be. Well, I have so much beer in the fridge that I haven't drank yet.
What a terrible marketing concept! I make it so good, he has to buy
good beer.
Make it good beer that I gotta buy more.
They'll never last.
They even came to Michigan.
Well, finally, it was so funny because we had talked to Alesmith about coming onto the show and not knowing that they were coming to Michigan. And they're like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're releasing a press release today. See you in a few weeks. Like, oh, okay. Good to know. So do you guys do interviews for the Brew Review cast? Crew.
It's okay.
We can just shorten that to the BRC.
Yeah, the BRC. That would be a lot easier for everyone. We realized 2 years in that we picked just a terrible name. But for the podcast, when we do interviews, we try to find – the most local stuff we can find. So we have been doing local breweries that are opening up in Toledo because I don't know how often you make your way down to Ohio, but as far as craft beer goes, it's Cleveland, Columbus, and Cincinnati, and Toledo kind of got left in the dust for craft beer.
Yeah.
And so what we're seeing now is a ton of craft breweries opening up in Toledo, just really small nano breweries that are opening up. And so we have had all of them on the show. We're going to one next Thursday. That's sort of a little bit of a outlier in Toledo, but the Northwest Ohio craft beer scene is definitely starting to open up a little bit. So we've had a lot of those guys on.
Yeah, to talk about how little beer there is out there, let's put it this way. We had to do like there were five different blogs from Ohio who came down to meet in Columbus to see what IPA was the best in all of Ohio. So we're all supposed to bring four of them. And we only had five submissions from all of Northwest Ohio, from like Toledo down to
basically Findlay.
Yeah, basically Findlay and over. I mean, that few of brewers were making IPAs, and then only we had to cook out one that was basically just like apple juice.
Do you guys have a prevalent style of beer there that is dominant? Do you have like a lot of ambers or a lot of lagers?
Literally before this year, before 2015-16, there was really just one craft brewery in Toledo. One real legit craft brewery, which is Mommy Bay. And since that, in a very short window, we've now have four or five that are either open or about to open. And so prevalent style, no. Mommy Bay is known for this one, which was their Total Eclipse. It's got a world-class rating on Beer Advocate, actually.
Yeah.
And they're known for their Amarillo Brillo, which is their double IPA. Both are excellent. But as far as prevalent styles, no, Toledo really doesn't have a beer identity. It's a bunch of smaller craft breweries that are kind of getting their foothold. We get inundated with a lot of Cleveland stuff and a lot of Michigan beer, which is good because everything is pretty good coming out of.
Yeah, we might not love this state, but they make some damn good beer. So
we were just rated best state in the world.
I saw that. In the whole world.
In the whole country. World.
I was just saying, because there's a lot of, I guess, a lot of the Michigan beers that are coming down in your area, especially with now Shorts being in the area.
Yes, yes.
I'm kind of curious as far as what's the overall reception is of Shorts down there right now.
Shorts has been, they make such good beer, and everyone in Toledo knows it. And being in Toledo, I mean, I live 5 minutes from the Michigan border.
We're going to do a race here pretty soon where you literally run from Ohio in Toledo to Michigan and back.
They do that, but that's in Texas usually.
Yeah.
That's why they're trying to build a wall.
Michigan's trying to keep the Toledo trash out. But we've enjoyed Shorts for a while because it's so accessible. But now that it's coming to the whole state, I mean, Shorts – their Space Rock is like one of my absolute favorite, just stock my fridge with it beers. Love Shorts. And so the reception has been great.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I think Toledo, we've been spoiled because we haven't been short on craft beer because we get so many good Michigan breweries that are accessible to us. But it's nice to see that we're going to start having our own beer footprint.
Right.
Do you think there'd be a stigma against Michigan beers coming down because it's, oh, it's beer from Michigan? And
no, I don't think so.
They have a really good football team and basketball team and right sense of living.
I think it's just the
You just go right on there. I don't know how football team really rates in there, but we'll let that one go.
There's one in East Lansing.
Wow.
Come on.
They don't even count.
Give Zeke Elliott the ball.
That's how people feel about the Browns sometimes.
No, I know. Trust me. I know.
Tell me about your Raven love.
I
hate the Browns, so you're talking to the wrong guy. You got to talk to him.
Do not start Raven.
I don't like any Harbaugh that I've ever met. I'll tell you that much.
Just to give you an example, I mean, we have a group called the Toledo Beer Aficionados. It's kind of like the Toledo Craft Beer Fan Club.
Yeah, I think I got kicked out of that one.
How'd you get kicked out?
Because I'm not in it anymore and I can't find it.
I am a member of that group.
And our annual meetup is in Michigan.
Yeah,
so,
that's true. Like, what's the bowling alley? Temperance, right?
Yeah, it's...
They, I mean, it was a great event, and they have a lot of Michigan beer. We had No Rules, right, Perrin? We had that No Rules that came down. I mean, that was just a ridiculously good beer.
Well, I guess that's the thing now, is that now, I mean, do you really have to come here? Because now with the law being, well, getting ready to be signed, I believe Governor Kasich is going to sign it within the next month or so, that there basically is no ABV limit in the state of Ohio now. Yeah. So now it's a pretty much free for all that
get
hopefully
those
you guys
will, there now.
You guys will get the,
what's that?
you'll get the Sam Adams Utopias.
Yeah. We just had our first little sample of that actually last week. And it was
I thought it was awesome. It was great.
Pretty good.
It was a 2011, so it had a little time to mellow out, but I mean that thing was just incredible.
But you know, Ohio lost out on Stone. You know,
you lost on Stone because they were thinking about moving there, and then the fact that they couldn't make anything over 12, that they ended up in West Virginia or was
something
Virginia?
Like
something
that.
Like
that.
Yeah. We did get BrewDog.
And I think that was a big reason why they're changing the laws, too, because BrewDog likes to make high ABV beers all the time. So,
That is a good point. I mean, we don't really need – it'll be interesting to see what – I don't know if you guys are familiar with Hop and Frog. They're out of the Cleveland area as well.
I love their pump. I think Double Pumpkin or something like that.
Probably. They have a pumpkin beer.
Everything they do is Imperial.
but they make –
even their session beers.
No, seriously.
I think we interviewed him one time, and he said his whole shtick is he only has a 10-barrel brewery, so he wants to make sure everyone gets bang for their buck. So everything they do is, you know, you pay, what, $15 for a bottle, but it's all like 8, 9, 10% alcohol, as high as you can go. So it's going to be, like he was saying, it's going to be real interesting to see what he does now that we have no limit, if he's going to try and pump out some 15, 20%.
He's been making beer that have been a real soft 12.
Yeah.
You know, like it says 12 on the bottle, but it's got to be higher. But now that he has no limits, it'll be interesting to see what happens to Ohio beer.
Right.
You know, to get these big festival beers where people buy the tickets like Dark Lord, you know.
Right.
Ohio can't do that or couldn't do that. So we'll see now that there's nothing limiting the state, what kind of beers will come out, and see if there's any kind of those home run whales coming out of the state.
Do you think it's going to change your beer scene too? Because I know you don't have beer stores or liquor stores that aren't state run for what I know. So do you think you're going to have a lot more independent retailers open up on street corners and retail, maybe plazas and stuff that carry just beer in general because it's now whatever you want it to be?
Hard to say. I mean, probably not in Toledo, but Cleveland, Cincinnati, Columbus, probably. Toledo is just I don't know why. I don't know if it's that we have Michigan right there, that there hasn't been a push in Toledo to make Toledo a craft beer scene because we are so close to Michigan and Cleveland. You know, we're sort of sandwiched between two really good beer areas. There hasn't really been a huge push for Toledo to have that for themselves, but I think we're going to start seeing that first and then maybe what you're talking about later on.
Well, the way I see it, I mean, how many over 12% beers do you really see on a daily basis anyway?
A lot. Here?
Do you really see a lot here?
A lot.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
We have a lot. And actually, it's kind of
– I retract that statement then because, whenever I think of – high alcohol beers, there's only, you know, a handful, maybe like 10 or 12 that I think about.
I think KBS, Bourbon.
KBS.
Right.
Yeah, KBS is 12.4. Devil Dancer's 12.4.
Yeah.
A couple Bells are at least 12.5. Evil Twins Molotov Cocktail Heavy. That's 17.2.
Anything from the brewery.
Anything from the brewery. That the brewery's Black Tuesday. That's 19.9.
Yeah.
Avery's Uncle Jacob's Bourbon Barrel Stout. That is 17.2. So yeah, we have quite a few. And that actually that kind of goes back to one of the things that founders when we had talked to them. And we had posed the question of, you know, is it kind of a pain to have to make a lower ABV KBS to send it down to Ohio? And they said, yeah, it kind of is.
Well, yeah,
so now you could just stick to one batch, and now everybody can have the same thing.
Well, if you know Clown Shoes, and they make a beer called Unidragon, and they have to make a special one, Ohio Unidragon, that comes in at 11.9999, you know, just to get under there. But... You know, I mean, for example, right when we first got started with our YouTube channel, we reached out to Goose Island and said, hey, we're new, but we really want to review some of your beer. Can we get some Bourbon County for the show? And they're like, no, you can't, because we can't send it to you. We can send you, you know, all of these from the Four Sisters program, so like Halia and Jillian, all those kind of things. But they said, we can't give you BCBS, so... It'll be nice to see Ohio kind of get rid of it, because it's such an outdated, useless law that's holding us back.
It also applies to your liquor, though, doesn't it? Because you have to go to a state store to buy full ABV liquors. You can't buy Bacardi 151
at
Meijer like you can here. Like everything else outside of those state-run stores are, 35% at
we
max?
We have if you go to a Kroger to get alcohol, it's always 40 proof.
Yeah, so is that law going to change?
I don't know.
I haven't heard that.
I don't know.
I have not heard that. I think that's not going to change. I think this is specifically to beer, because I remember they were bringing up, they were like, if you can have, you know, liquors that are this high, why can't you have beer that's that high? So I think they're just going to stick to beer for now, maybe make that push later. So I think the state likes their control a little bit.
As we were bringing it up and we're talking about it, so we've had on this show, just on this show, 30 different beers of 12% and higher.
Wow, really?
And
all right.
That includes,
I take that all back then. I mean, I just, you know, for us, we don't, it's not always in my mind, like, what's the highest ABV beer I can get?
Oh, it's not. It's just what happens.
So, so I never think about, oh, I can't get this. But there are all those big beers that you think about that people love that you can't get in Ohio because they're like 120.
And just to get 120, we had to drive all the way to Indiana to go pick it up. I mean,
if there's one thing I'm sorry about is driving to Indiana.
Well, there's I want to say it's Angola. There's a party store that I used to go to down 69, right, pretty much right at the border, called Gay's Hops.
Gay's Hops and Schnapps.
That's exactly where we went.
That's our hookup.
Yep. That's where I used to go to get Fat Tire back before Fat Tire was in Michigan. I used to get Lefay Brun before it came to Michigan. And Three Floyds.
Yeah,
that's like the quick stop. Like if I'm going to get something basic from Three Floyds, like Gumball Head, Alpha King, something like that, I'll just go to Gay's. But if I'm going, like, I'll check the website to see if they got anything if I'm going that way. But now that I know, there's so many. I knew it, but I didn't realize like how close Three Floyds was to the Illinois border.
Oh yeah.
To where, why don't I just go the extra mile and a half west and go get some Illinois beer that doesn't get to Michigan itself?
Do you not get Three Floyds still?
We still do not know.
Really? We get limited selections. So every once in a while, like you said, we'll get a Gumball Head. We get Yum Yum every once in a while.
You get Dreadnought here and there.
Yeah, but it's always just like real limited release.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always like I've had it enough to where that's lost that allure of like, oh my gosh, I have to get it. Like with my job, if I got to get a Chicago or Wisconsin or something like that, I'd be like, hey, you know, since it's right off 94, hey, I'm driving by Three Floyds. You guys have 3.5 hours to text me if you guys want something. And then I just, you know, pretty much buy their 2-case limit for their to go and then get going. Well, they started that 2-case limit because of people like me.
Yeah. Well, and every time I've been there, it says no zombie dust. Like every single time it's on the door. But you can always get it on tap. But
yeah, Tuesdays is their zombie dust release day.
Okay.
And then that's if they release it on
someone
a Tuesday. And then if it's just, you know, you'll know if they sold out or not, because they'll make sure to update their website. So they're very, very good about it. But like zombie dust days are usually pretty packed over there for when they have it. And
it's crazy.
Oh, yeah. People want it. And I don't know. The whole IPA craze, I think, is just it boggles my mind because I hate bitter beers.
But I think there's so much more to do with hops. There's so many different types of hops. I think that's the craze behind it is hops you know, single hopping, double hopping, triple hopping, and all the different varieties of hops from, you know, England to the Europe to to America, both, you know, the East Coast and the West Coast. There's just so much more you can do with hops and IPAs than you can do with just the level of burn you want to do on your malt.
Hey, so, do you homebrew at all?
No.
See, that's where my love of hops came from. When I started homebrewing and I smelled hops for the first time, it was like an instantaneous, I became a hophead. And so I wonder if it's one of those things where you just got to do it to get it, or if you just might not ever love it.
I've tried hundreds of different IPAs, and that's not an understatement. That's just true. Like every time there's I will never not try a beer unless it's a chili beer.
Yeah.
I just don't. I just don't bother anymore. So like barrel age, I mean, even Rob's seen my like change in regards to how much I never liked bourbon barrel age beers.
Yeah.
No, I know.
And like earlier, like when we started the show, I hated them. And like slowly but surely, my palate started to grow, but IPAs just never. Like I've done beer festivals, like especially the Fall Festival in Detroit, and there's so many IPAs to choose from and so many world class IPAs.
Yeah.
But like I just had Drippa from Kunin from so Draft. Good.
Love that beer.
Hated it.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Absolutely. It's basically as with people who drink IPAs and they ask, is it fresh? For Ken in IPAs, how long is it aged?
Oh yeah,
because I mean, pretty much
give me a 1 year old Devil Dancer.
Give him a 1 year old Devil Dancer. Yeah. He loves it. But you give it to him like it was just bottled a month ago. No.
Are you gonna not celebrate July 4th too because you hate freedom? So like, is this like a solemn week for you of all this freedom that's going on?
I mean, sure he'll grab a can of America. You
know? I mean, it is Canada Day right now. So
it is true.
It is Canada Day.
Social
it is
Freedom Day.
Michigan. Craft Beer Month. Did you know that? Michigan
no.
Craft Beer Month.
We have a beer month?
We have a beer month. And you know who's one of those brewers in that beer month?
I think I know.
North Center Brewing
there
over in
are.
Northville, Michigan. Go check them out over on North Center Road over in Northville, just outside of downtown. Great place to go. Say hi to Bob and the gang. Play some shuffleboard. They usually always
hand
have.
Hand shuffleboard?
Yes, hand shuffleboard.
It's the best.
I might have to make a trip just for that.
I'm pretty sure we
go there?
No, we went to Detroit Beer Works.
Yeah, they had shuffleboard.
And they had shuffleboard there. That
Detroit
was fun.
Beer Works.
Is it? No, was it not? It's Bowling Green Beer Works. It's Detroit
Beer Company.
Beer Company.
Okay, because there's a Motor City Brew Works.
This is Detroit.
Oh,
it's in a weird building that used to be like a ball bearing factory.
Yeah, it's right off. I think it's right off of the circle right off of Campus Marshes. I'm not a Detroit geographer. It's on like Monroe Street, maybe-ish?
Yeah.
Near the circle, that's Detroit Beer Company.
Yeah. Detroit Beer Company. That was fun.
I was going to say, because if you went to Motor City Brew Works, there is literally a brewery across the street and a brewery kitty corner of it.
Yep.
So you could do a little walking tour right there.
I think we actually did do that later. Yeah. But the first one we did was DBC. Yeah.
Yeah. DBC's got some really good beers when they brought Justin, we got a couple of those drunk there.
Their beers are all very high ABV.
Tangerine IPA, that put me down a little bit. Doesn't sound like it would, but it did.
Well, I mean, they had blueberry Drippa at Kunin. Yeah, they
recently?
Had a blueberry. Yeah, last Saturday
Friday. During the summer solstice.
We've been to Kunin twice. We went just once to have Drippa, and we went to their winter solstice, and it was a not great
experience. That was a nightmare.
Oh, yeah?
We left at probably, like, what, 4:45 in the morning to get up here?
Maybe. I mean, we were 150th in line.
Yeah, at 6 in the morning, 150th in line.
But we didn't get our beer until, like, 4 p.m., and it was not a great experience.
It was not run the way we wanted
to. I think they've improved since, but
it was the beer we've had. I got that barrel aged 4D.
Oh, the 4D? Yeah, I had some of that Friday.
I have a 2010 totally solar eclipse.
I've got something in my cellar downstairs
waiting for me.
Yeah.
You want to talk about something that's high ABV, the bourbon barrel 4D, I think that was 16%.
Oh, that was so good.
And even just and Friday, they basically just had these little 3 ounce Dixie cups. And even just with that, it was like, oh, yeah, I'm done. I don't need any more.
They're a great brewery.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah, their cherry oat brewing is probably one of my favorite beers. That nut brown. Did you get a chance to try the double nut brown?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my gosh. It was so smooth and so good. For a beer that they – obviously, I've never seen it there before, but they need to start like consistently making that. I would actually go to Kunin and start getting growler fills of that all the time.
I thought you were excited about their expansion.
I am excited about their expansion in Grossbeck. I was excited about it when I lived in Clinton Township 3 years ago.
I remember that show.
So,
have you guys been to Dragon Mead?
We wrote.
Yes. All right.
There was.
And tell.
And there is a story to be had.
I'll let you take this one.
We only have been there one time, and we must have gone on just the wrong day. But we are, you know, the only meads I've ever really had.
Bee nectar,
and loved what I had. So we went up to Dragon Mead, and we went in there, and we said, okay, what should we get here to the lady who was working the bar? I said, what kind of mead should we get?
Oh, see, that's where you messed up.
Yeah, you went with the mead.
Yeah,
she was like, I hate mead. And I was like,
That's just bad customer
service. I mean, the whole experience, the beer we ended up with was fine.
What'd you get?
It was okay. I got some English brown ale.
I don't know.
That was just okay.
Eric the Red and
I don't know.
Final Absolution.
Final Abso's their number one beer.
It's like one of it's like a Belgian triple, and people like lose their mind for it.
Really? I mean, people love Dragon Mead, we have to go back because we had such a bad experience.
Yeah, I think you will. The hard thing to do is never go on the Friday or Saturday night. Just go either in the afternoon.
We did.
We
went on like a very down time.
Yeah, because that place will get packed, and it'll get packed fast. And it's not for lack of poor service. It's for the lack of you can only do so much with so many people.
She didn't want to be there. She didn't want to work there. She didn't want to. I mean, like, she hated everything about that day.
Yeah. We wrote a little scathing review about that one.
Well, are you allowed back?
I don't know. Maybe.
They also have like the coolest tap handles and all of
that. No, I did say that. Yeah. I like this.
Break so quickly, though.
The feel, the atmosphere was great. It was cool. You know, I just feel like Dragon Mead.
Right.
Your people need to lie and say they like some kind of mead and point me to a mead if I want a mead.
Yeah,
right.
There's definitely, and especially right now, there's three meaderies within the area that are much better.
I mean, even Kunin makes mead.
Kunin makes mead. I haven't had the Kunin mead yet.
Their raspberry mead, I think it's like 16%, and it'll knock you off your bar, so it'll be good.
Well, you got Schramm's, which you guys got to check out. And then Sellerman's just opened up maybe 6 months ago. Okay. And that's definitely something that you guys should check out. And they basically do a setup of 4 beers, 4 ciders, 4 meads.
Mm. Okay.
So that's all they have. They don't have anything crazy. A lot of their beers are very sessionable because they want people to, you know, drink but not get completely sloshed and go home.
Sure.
Yeah. So they concentrate on really keeping – I think everything's like 6.5 and less.
Okay.
So you're not going to go there and get completely
– Where are they at?
Hammered. They're over in Hazel Park, which is maybe 3 miles from here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The studio here in Royal Oak. So it's definitely a really, really good place to go. We had Dominic on the show late last year, and talking about it and stuff. And they literally took an old lumber yard and then turned it, because they were former employees of Bee Nectar, and just started their own.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And they've definitely eclipsed Bee Nectar in regards to the taste.
Really? Okay.
So Bee Nectar's got a few hidden gems, but Sellerman. They have a Moscow Mule. Okay. That is a mead that tastes like a Moscow Mule.
That's pretty cool.
And it's just probably one of my favorite drinks that we've had on the show. I don't know if Dominic was here when you were here. That might have been, you know, BR before Rob.
Yeah, that was before Rob.
This is AR after Rob. Well, I mean, more like DR, during Rob.
During Rob.
I'll take CRE. You're still here.
I'm still here.
I think actual historians would call it the CRE.
The common Rob era.
Yeah. As far as I know, it's like for the time being, I'm still in the intro, so let's just leave it at that.
So have you guys hit up any other of the local breweries around here? Or, I mean, it seems like you seemed a little more well-versed than what I thought you guys had hit up here.
We like to take little Detroit trips every once in a while just to kind of go out and see what you guys have.
Because you're from Ohio, right?
because Toledo
has a shortage
of
Toledo.
Yeah.
So, and Detroit is closer than any of the Ohio major cities. So
yeah, it's only an hour
for us to drive to Cleveland, that's 2 Detroit trips. So, yeah. I mean, we do come up here quite a bit. My wife and I, we go up to Traverse City a lot, so we've been doing
That's
many Detroit trips. But they've got a lot of great breweries up there. So the local breweries around here, we've done the Detroit.
We did Royal Oak.
Yeah.
I think he means in Royal Oak, right? Because we did Royal Oak, and then we did Bestone.
Oh, because you went to Royal Oak Brewery and Bestone.
Yeah.
Yes, that was our first trip. And then we just went to River Rouge.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
River Rouge. So those are the three we've been in.
But around,
town.
But around the area, we've done. We've done
DBC. We've done Atwater. We've done Motor City.
Have
Motor
you guys
City
been to Atwater in the park yet?
No, no. I heard they're doing a lot better stuff than Atwater.
Well, yeah, because they do a lot of small batch there.
Yeah.
You've been to Baffin over on that side either?
Baffin's good too.
Yeah, that's right off 94, 10 mile 94. Just take it, or 75 94. Take it off.
Okay.
10 miles right there.
I think we've done Griffin Claw.
Yeah.
Some good stuff there.
Coonan. Griffin Claw, I'm telling you, of all the breweries we've been to, we went there during our wait for our beer at the Coonan's winter solstice.
Yeah, that's what we put our ticket and went brewery touring until we got our tickets back.
They took us back there. Their setup is like the cleanest. Yeah. What do you say? Like their microchip clean?
No, he said they're hospital clean right now. They're surgery grade clean. They want to be nanochip clean.
And they actually just opened up a new facility up in Rochester where they took all that equipment and put it in that and got all new state of the art stuff. Than what you just saw. So
whoever
like,
owns that is like just dropping bombs.
Yeah, I mean they have gone.
I'm pretty sure they also own BFD.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah,
yeah. They said they owned a restaurant first.
Yeah, in Rochester. Yeah. But they've gone from being like the number seven Michigan brewery in Kroger to number two, only behind Bell's. So I mean,
wow.
In Kroger, like throughout the state, they're number two.
Wow,
that's insane.
Some quality stuff.
So
probably
we're gonna take a quick break though. Hate to cut you guys off.
No,
we're gonna be right back with the Better on Draft podcast, and we are back with the Better on Draft podcast. I thought I had turned down the music, but apparently I did not. But it was still autoplay. And my name is Ken. We are back here with the Brew Review crew.
There you go.
Look at that.
Hey.
Right
once
off the
you get
tongue.
It, rolls
it only,
off the
it only
tongue,
takes
I'm
a few tries.
Oh, it only takes a few
my
tries.
My dad still just says, brewery, the Q, whatever. I'm like, all right.
Once you start slurring
you and your
words,
friend's little
like
podcast thingy.
Right.
So what were we talking about? We were talking about breweries in Michigan, the breweries that you guys have attended. So you were talking about Griffin Claw.
Yep, we've been to Griffin Claw. We were talking about how we have been to Falling Down. We've been to the B.O.B. We've been to a bunch.
The B.O.B. is very, very like out there too. It's not like really. It's not off the beaten path because it's right off of 94, but it's definitely not one that people really talk about in regards to going to.
Most surreal one for me was Crankers. It was like in a Denny's or an old, like kind of like a Falling Down, kind of like an old fast
like
food joint,
like
or something.
A diner,
like a diner. And they had I didn't realize this, but Crankers like sells food like a restaurant, but then like on their wall they had taps. And they've got two locations, so that was the one not in Big Rapids, because Big Rapids apparently is like the mothership. But this was one in Grand Rapids.
I never went to that one.
Yeah, it was me and Kristen.
We went to for my birthday. We went up to Founders, and then we went to a couple different places. And what was the Brewery Vivant?
Yeah, Brewery Vivant. Yep.
And I feel like we went to another one.
Yes, we did. They served really good pizza.
did you get the Grand Rapids passport while you're out there? You're going to so many breweries out
did
there.
Did you go to the B.O.B. in Grand Rapids, though?
Right, yeah, right? Because it was right next to...
It's
across the street from
like a half mile away from Founders. They're on the same road.
Yeah.
And then the last one we went to, I don't remember what it was, but it was like they had really... we went to the Mitten.
Mitten
was the bomb.
They've
got great pizza. And then we went to one other one I just cannot remember what that was called. It was like an old brewery, but it was like a restaurant. It was two stories. I can't remember what that one was called for the life of me.
There's a lot of them over there, so I don't have an answer for you.
That might have been the B.O.B., because they call that the big old building out in Grand Rapids. And it's basically a big square warehouse. In the bottom, there's like a club. In the middle floor, there's like a bar and such. In the top level, it's kind of more chill.
Yeah, that was the last stop, so
it was kind of like
a little hazy at that point.
Yeah,
but we're no stranger to Michigan breweries. We definitely love coming up here and checking out all the different ones you guys have. You guys have a ton of breweries.
So I was in not too long ago. I was in kind of like outside of Cleveland. I went to Sibling Revelry.
Okay,
and that was all right. Nothing really special there. Brand new. It was a pain in the ass to get there because it was literally across a road.
to get on one of the freeways over there, and I had to like drive 2 miles out of the way to make a U-ey to drive just literally across the road from my hotel.
Stupid,
I'm like,
yeah.
This is so annoying.
There's no Michigan Lefts up there.
There is no Michigan Lefts. No. I went to Fatheads as well.
Yeah, Fatheads is the bomb.
What was great was that I literally showed up and I sat down. She's like, "What do you want?" I literally looked at the menu and there's so much. I'm like, "Just give me every dark beer that you have." And she shows up with like 12 beers later. I'm like, "Well, this is going to be a fun night."
Yeah, really. Well, and you went to Fatheads, but you don't like IPAs, and it's just
and
a
that's,
shame.
And that's such a shame. And that's what they're known for. I mean,
right.
they're you know,
Headhunter,
Hop Juju. These are
so
the gold medal winners. So it's surprising that you found stuff. I mean, they make great beer, but they're known for their IPAs.
Do you get a Fatheads up here?
No.
I should have brought. Okay, see, I'm always confused as to who gets it because I was trying to trade with someone in Florida, and they were like, "Don't give me Fatheads. We get it down here." And I was like, "What?
Yeah,
it doesn't make
used,
any sense."
Have you ever used Seeker Brew?
Right. Yeah, that's what I should have looked at it before I came here. But that's where I found that. I was like, I guess he's telling the truth.
Yeah, I'm excited because I'm going to Dallas in August, and Dallas gets Cigar City.
Okay.
And Surly out of Minnesota.
Yeah, Surly.
Oh,
and
yes,
I am so excited.
Have you ever
been
there?
I'm pretty much going to be drinking. No, I have not. What was so funny was that I had the chance to go work there, and it was either I was going to drive there or they were going to fly someone in. And they're like, "Well, we'll fly." I'm like, "No, I'm driving." By the time I get to the airport, get on the plane, get somewhere, rent a car, get to my hotel, get to the place I need to work, it's going to take me almost the same amount of time.
In Minnesota?
Yeah. About seven hours.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, that whole process.
7 hours?
Yeah, it's not bad.
Milwaukee's only a 7 hour, seven and a half hour drive.
Milwaukee's like 9 hours.
No, Minneapolis. Minneapolis, St. Paul.
No,
sorry.
Milwaukee's not that bad.
I mean, the only way to make it Milwaukee quicker is if you drive to Ludington and take the ferry over and you spend 2 hours on a ferry.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, if sorry about the Travelocity.
If you've never been to Surly,
it's
beautiful.
Incredible.
Yeah,
beautiful.
So, the moral of the story is this place was literally 5 miles from Surly, so I was going to go, but they flew someone else in, and then the restaurant wasn't even ready. So the guy, they had to not only pay for everything, but they also had to pay like a $500 fee just because they weren't ready for it.
Wow.
Well, I mean, when you fly someone
into
work, that's definitely a tough. I probably would have been pissed if I drove all the way out there. Been like, "All right, I'm hitting up a bunch of stuff on the way home."
Their facility is ridiculous.
Yeah,
I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah, it was like a big industrial, but also kind of high class, and it was just a mixture of like upscale, but also industrial at the same time. I think they had a chef, like a four or five star chef, whatever.
Beer is rock solid.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah,
we had a great time.
We had a brewery that's being opened right now, so they're not open quite yet, and from Dearborn called Downey. And they had their kids, so it's a family, two sons, a mother and a father, opened up a brewery. So the kids went on like this giant beer tour of the country to like find beers and taste test, as I use air quotes, do some QA to see what their brewery is going
to
be like. And yeah, they brought me back a Surly coffee blender, and I'm like, I had it for the first time, and I'm
really
like,
good.
Okay.
Really
yeah.
Good.
It's like that depressing thing where I'm like, I'll never have this again.
Yeah, well, I think Chicago gets Surly, and that's
not
too far away.
Well, that's exactly where I found out about Three Floyds being so close to Illinois,
okay.
And there's a beer store right by Three Floyds that carries Surly.
Gotcha.
So the next time I go to Three Floyds, I'm going to go to that beer store.
Yeah, well, we took a ridiculous road trip last summer. I was trying, so like I said earlier, I homebrew. And I really wanted to get a Brew Magic. I don't know if you guys know what that is, but it's like a almost automated home brewing system. It's like really stupidly expensive, but I found it for like half price online. The only catch was I had to go to Minnesota to get it.
Mm.
So Ron and I were like, "Well, we're going on a beer trip. We're both teachers. We got the summer off. Why not?"
Went loaded up my pregnant wife.
Yeah, and got a trailer, and we went from Toledo to Three Floyds into Chicago, up through Wisconsin into Minnesota, down to Decorah, Iowa, went to Toppling Goliath, came home. It was a complete bender.
In two days.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah,
I guess when you're only stopping for beer.
Right, and we got our Surly fix in and everything. But
I heard pregnant wife in that conversation.
It doesn't need
exactly.
Every 20 minutes? Or
she did not have any alcohol, but she did not love the trip.
Yeah.
Is that not something you can just say, "Hey, we're going out with the boys for a couple"? Or was she like,
we needed
not
a,
eight
we,
and a half
we,
weeks?
We needed a DD.
Yeah.
It was a thing.
Because
we knew we were going to stop at breweries all the way.
Yeah. I guess Uber doesn't go to middle of Iowa,
no,
right?
No, we couldn't haul a trailer with an Uber.
We said,
challenge accepted.
We need you. and she went, like, and she was a trooper, but it was after that trip, I mean, it was 1,400 miles,
yeah.
36 hours.
Yeah, it was stupid.
It was
So are you still in the doghouse?
Have you
seen the light of day? Have you installed a daylight in the doghouse?
I've made my way out. We are back on good terms.
She was okay with it. But I mean, I told him, I was like, I can only imagine she wasn't loving the trip.
She couldn't drink any sweet beer.
No, I mean, couldn't you have like Craigslisted like a driver at this point?
We could have. I think she thought it would be like, in theory, on paper, it sounded like, what an adventure.
Yeah.
But
driving through road trip. What an adventure.
You should have saw, we stopped to do a geocache in the middle of an Iowa graveyard, and she flipped.
If looks could kill. She's like, get the fuck back in the car.
Like, did you at least see the field of dreams?
No.
We saw all the fields.
And what about the biggest ball of twine in Minnesota?
We missed it
just a little bit, yeah.
But it was just a little out of the way. But it's like the mystery spot in the UP.
But that's
I love the mystery spot in the UP. It used to be so long and enjoyable, and I went back when I was like a 23-year-old, and I was like, this takes like 5 minutes to walk through, and I'm so unimpressed.
What exactly is the mystery spot?
It's right above. I know
where the UP is, but yeah. I don't know the mystery spot.
I was kind of going out with.
Oh, gotcha.
Corey, you'll find out when you're old enough.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Hey, I live here. I don't go to the UP, so okay. I need this explained as well.
That's a different reason. Sorry.
So true.
The mystery spot. It's basically one of those things where like everything you see is different. Like,
okay.
You'll put two people who are the same height on a similar block, but because of how it's built and the magic of the mystery spot, one person looks taller, and you'll walk downhill, but it'll be arduous and you're walking uphill because they built it suchly.
That makes no sense.
So you put a ball.
It's a house of illusions?
It's basically, yeah, exactly. So you'll put a ball on the bottom of a ramp, and it'll run up the ramp.
It's the gravity room at Kosai.
Okay. All right.
No. Shenanigans. Because Kosai kind of sucks. I've been to Kosai.
Is it closed?
It's the Imagination Station.
Yeah, it's
the
Imagination
exactly.
Station.
Exactly. See? Can't even keep the name. Like, the mystery spot is like in the middle of a field right across the bridge in the UP, which we got because we let you guys go. So, again, double win for us. Yeah. But across the street, there's also like this long wooden picket fence maze.
Okay.
Which, as a child, every July, my family and I would drive to Marquette, which is another 3 hours for the family reunion. But I was from the west side of Detroit in a city that's called Westland, where all the white kids aren't really white kids.
The Juggalos.
Yes, exactly. So what we would do after like the 20 minutes that I thought was like hours in the mystery spot, we would put on Halloween masks. And we would find out where those little areas were that people would dead end in because we had been there every year. And we would have those masks on waiting for people.
Oh, geez.
And then they would show up and we would just scare the living hell out of them. Or we would just kind of like army crawl on our back through it and just find people and like grab their ankles and just do the see this, like devil with a horn, like grabbing it. Ah! And it was amazing. Like the screams you got from like these random people from like Goodwin, Michigan.
That's awesome.
Good
surprise
times.
Nobody had a gun.
Right?
Yeah, really.
This was like the 90s.
Can't do that.
Open carry wasn't really around.
Can't do that these days.
Plus, you find the girls that are cute and you grab their ankles. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're not going to have a gun. Their dad behind them is the one that's got a gun.
He's going to be more pissed than her.
Yeah, you got to beat Earl out of the maze.
Oh, Jesus. I don't even know how we got to the mystery spot.
It's called a mystery spot. How do you not dive into that?
Another one.
Right.
Usually it's you right on the nose.
That's right.
See what you did there.
See? Now it's apparent.
Oh, I saw it the first time.
Okay, well, it
took me one second. Yeah.
She's in the same thing.
They're teachers. Their minds are very...
We got to keep it pure.
Pure.
That's right.
But how... What age, what grade do you guys teach?
High school.
Yeah, we're
Oh, come
we're
on.
Yeah,
shenanigans.
I know.
You probably have people listening to the show that are your students right now.
I can't say half of the stuff that I want to say because I know they're going to take it the wrong way. I can't even be like, "Hi, I'm Mr. Smith," they'll start snickering over there. It's awful. Like, I literally watch every single word out of my mouth.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, has anybody ever come up to you and said, "Hey, I tried that beer you reviewed. It was pretty good."
Yes, I get that skull on his face. It wasn't Bud Light. What are you telling me about?
So we at the opening of our YouTube, like our opening video, it's a glass filling, and it's my voice going, "Glug, glug, 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 glug." And so, and it's just been that way for 3 years
just,
now.
Like, stupid, and we thought it was funny.
And so I was teaching in class multiple times, and you every once in a while, you'll just hear in the back, just a kid way in the back, "Cluck, cluck, 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 cluck." I'm like, "You could die today, Bobby."
Did you not teach everybody that alcohol is poison?
No, we tried to.
Were you guys not a health teacher or something?
No, we're not health teachers.
I say if you drink alcohol, you will get pregnant and you will die. Like, exactly.
Even Becky snorted the alcohol one time and she died of marijuanas. She died
of marijuanas. But yeah, we do have our kids come up to us all the time and make comments. And Corey just admitted to it, but I still. They're like, this isn't you. I'm like, "No, that's not me. That guy doesn't even look like me."
They're like, "But you have a keychain that says Brew Review Crew."
He says, "I'm Ron." I'm like, there are lots of Rons. You know?
Do you not get in trouble from like admin and the people above you?
You know, the first day I got hired, I had my interview. They hired me. I signed the contract. And I was like, "By the way."
Well, didn't you say you were sitting at your desk and some guy walked in the room?
So we worked. That's how we know each other. We worked at the same school together, and it's a charter school, so there are no rules. But then we both got hired by legitimate school districts, and so I wanted to keep a very low profile. Didn't want to mention beer. Didn't want to talk about beer. Didn't want anybody knowing that I was anything to do with beer.
Right.
But my very first day, we're taking the tour, and the guidance counselor comes up, and I have no idea. I've never seen him before in my life. He goes, "Big beer guy." Never saw him in my life, and I was like – you know, and I was like, "How?" And he was like, "Read your article in the newspaper." I was like, "What? What article?" Lo and behold, one of our stories got picked up by the local paper, and they ran with it, and they had our pictures in it.
Yeah,
and we got recognized. But no, my principal was like, "Hey, as long as you're not doing anything illegal and you're not being super irresponsible, we're cool with it."
Yeah, so. I had a kid come up to me, and it was after school. It was the last period. I didn't even know anything was going on. He looked around. It was just me and him. He's like, "I subscribe." And I was like, I was like, "What do you mean you subscribe?" He goes, to the bee, the brew. And I was like, "Stop right now. Go in my room. We need to have a talk."
Wow.
I pulled him in. I said, "You know nothing. You've seen nothing. You will tell nobody anything." And I kicked him out.
First rule of Fight Club.
Isn't like this like the worst age to either A, grow up, or B, express yourself? Because like, I think we're all fair to say we're kids of the 90s where you still kind of dealt with beepers, which were kind of private. Yeah. You still called girls and prayed their dad didn't answer, or it was them who answered, or they knew you were calling at that point. Like, they didn't have a sister who sounded like them.
Well, that's because you had to AIM message them first.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And you had to have the most clever away messages so she knew it was you, but it wasn't.
A really deep quote.
Yeah. Or a song lyric like Good Charlotte or Sum 41. Or you had to, like, drive by, like, at late at night and, like, flash your high beams and kind of, like, give, like, two honks and go through it.
Yeah, man. No, it's a weird time to be on the internet because the kids are so – they just know.
They're
so
much better than we are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, the very first day of school, the first thing they're doing is Googling.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah.
Well, and I don't even know how they found me. I don't remember exactly what it was. I think it was the article he was talking about. Someone searched my name, and I mean, my name's Corey Smith. You're not going to find anything more bland than me.
But me, there's 10 trillion Corey Smiths.
Right.
But how many Ron DiGregorios, are there? And so
I know Ron DiGregorio.
So everyone knows at least one. But they can narrow it down pretty quick.
What's funny is, as you say that, and my last name's Konarshevsky.
I can't say it.
So
that's two names.
Does your last name have a first name in it?
That's what I said. Your name is Konarshevsky.
Konarshevsky.
Did he get signed with the Red Wings today to a minor league deal?
Right.
Is he was replacing Pavel Datsyuk? Pretty sure he got 6 years, $12 million.
$12 million. Oh yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm sponsoring this podcast all by myself.
And North Center Brewing Company.
And North Center. And of course the Tuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills.
There you go.
The great Jack.
Yeah, next time you guys are up in Rochester Hills area, if you're like, you know, hitting up the breweries up there,
BFD,
anything like that,
is right there.
BFD. Okay. Check out Zatuna Liquor. Definitely a great place to check out for pretty much anything that you can get in Michigan that you can't get in Ohio. You can get over at Zatuna Liquor.
And there's a lot of it. Always a lot of it.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And always like the limited selections, too.
Nice. Yeah. Jack's a really good guy up there. One of those people to where if you go up every once in a while and you like, I go maybe like every 3 months now just because I live so far away. You know, I live in Detroit and it's still a half hour, 45 minute drive. And he's still very smart. If you're looking for something, he'll save it for you as long as he can.
Yeah.
Really good guy up there. We appreciate his sponsorship.
And a lot of the thing about liquor stores, people are like, oh, I have it, and then it's over there-ish. Jack, I mean, he knows his store. He knows what's in his store. And if you say, hey, do you know where this is or do you have this, he will like literally point you to the millimeter of where it is. Like,
yeah, but he also he's out of this. His palate is so on point in regards to knowing if you like this and they don't have it, you will like this.
Mm-hmm.
I've had probably out of the 30 or 40 suggestions, maybe one bad.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's good.
And
that's
so
what you need.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So as I cut off for a a little sponsorship read right there.
That's good.
So going back, it definitely I don't recall ever having the ability to like look up teachers.
We had My Professor when we got to college.
We had Rate My Professor, but the thing like, is that the only reason you knew how a teacher was is either a classmate of yours had them, or secondly, you had to know from your sibling's former, you know, friend or something like that. Like, that was the only reason, like, how you knew how this teacher was.
Yeah. I think, like, in my high school or my junior high, if you had an older brother or sister who had that teacher, if it was, like, a general purpose teacher, not necessarily, like, economics or sociology, like, if it was, like, a math or science person, you almost always got slotted into that same teacher's class.
Oh, yeah.
Just because there was a familiarity with, like, I think it was more so the parents. So when you have conversation or, you know, you have your conference and
my parents
you know,
are just like that.
You know, you had little Kenny and he was good, but Johnny's an ass.
Yeah.
You know.
That's how it always works.
You know.
Johnny's always an ass.
Yeah,
Johnny's
he really always is. An ass. I hate Johnny.
But, like, maybe that's the issue. Or maybe that's the reason why.
Yeah.
Well, so we were saying in regards to, you know, you have such a unique name. Like, again, my name is Ken Konarzewski. I know two others. And one's my dad. Wow. And the other is someone that my dad graduated with that's not even a relative.
Wow.
Like, we could probably Ancestry.com and find out how we're somehow a cousin.
Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson.
No, he's too white. Everyone. He's too white.
That's true.
So,
comment.
It's one of those things to where,
right?
You know, I get messages on Facebook all the time, and they're like, is this the Ken that graduated Hamtramck High School in 1969? I'm like, no. Do I look like the Ken who graduated in 1969?
That's literally the only – that's the one other Ken.
I have
Earth.
A color photo, people. A color photo.
So it's just so crazy because I get all these old people that are trying to find my dad, and my dad's not on the internet. So he doesn't have any social media. He doesn't have any, you know. Oh, yeah. I had to tell him to check his email because I sent him something.
Do you not know the pain of my life? My last name is Bush, B-U-S-H. I cannot go without judgment into this world. Like,
well, at least your name's not
Richard. It's fine that you did 9/11. It's no big deal.
See, either I'm the guy that had the inside job, his grandfather,
that's right.
Or the other guy that brews the great beer in 30 packs only, basically. And the weirdest thing is, so I remember growing up, everyone would ever always ask me, do you know George Bush? Because, A, he was president when I was a kid, and then he was again. His son was president when I was an adult, or ish, rather. And the funny thing is, George H.W. Bush was a fighter pilot on the aircraft carrier that my grandfather, George A. Bush, was the mechanic on.
Wait,
so,
your grandpa really is George Bush.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. He's not the H.W., he's the A. So it's just this weird thing. Like,
this is like George Bush Inception.
Yeah.
You've got George Bush working on George Bush's, you know, flying aircraft.
Now, see, now that sounds like an exhibit TV show.
Pimp My George Bush.
I heard you like George Bush.
So I George Bush out of the George Bush.
So we put George Bush's picture on George Bush.
Could you just imagine?
Just like George Bush with George Bush.
I just have a really bad feeling tomorrow. I'm going to get a Facebook post of Bushes of George. a picture just of George Bush's face on a bush. It's from Kevin.
An infinite mirror of George Bush's.
It's going to be Leo DiCaprio with that wolf face. George Bush.
So you guys said you went to the Winter Solstice Festival, which was pretty crazy over here in Kunin.
We did.
So
that was now at least 2 years ago.
So in regards to that, in comparison to the craft beer fans in Ohio, are they better, worse, more
Yeezus-y?
Man, it's so hard to tell because, again, like, you guys have stuff like this in Michigan where we don't.
Yeah.
We don't we don't have the release festivals. We don't have release parties. We don't – like, Ohio doesn't do this.
The thing that's closest that comes to my mind is Hoof-Hearted.
Hoof-Hearted?
I say it that way. Hoof-Hearted, yeah.
Yeah. It's a racehorse.
Right. No, it's – I know. But it's he's coming around the outside.
It's also a brewery.
It's also a brewery.
Coming around back.
And Hoof-Hearted, they do every – I think it's every Sunday or every other Sunday. I forget. Yeah. But they do a release, and you can – there's 300 tickets. And if you don't get a ticket, you don't get the beer. But you can buy, like, a full case of the beer.
And your ticket the price you pay for your ticket goes towards your beer.
Right. So if it's $5 for a ticket, then they take $5 off your beer. So, I mean – But that's the only thing I would say that comes close.
Yeah, I mean we don't have BCBS release lines. We don't have this stuff. So like Ohio
DLD is a whole beast in itself.
Right.
And I mean we stopped trying, but in years past we've tried. We've been on the computer, finger on the mouse, and between the finger going up and down for the buy now, it's sold out. We've never. We don't have that in Ohio, so for us, I think Winter Solstice was the only line only release part we've ever waited in.
Yeah, well, I went to – so I last summer I decided I was going to do a lot of –
Yeah, you had a unique Vermont experience.
Yeah, I went to Vermont. My dad – so our family business –
Did you hang out with Bernie?
I tried to. He wasn't having it.
He was over at Alchemist partying up.
That's right. So we have a family business, and my dad was like, hey, you have the day off. Why don't you go run this piece over to Massachusetts? I was like, all right, sure. So we just went, and on the way up, I looked at the Alchemist, and I was like, I wonder if I can get some Heady Topper while I'm out that way. It turned out to be the day they were releasing Focal Banger. And so I went up and waited in line for God knows how many hours. But I was like – I was one of the first 10 in line, but I just had to sit there. So
yeah.
I would say Vermont's are the most easiest, if you will.
Easiest.
Easiest.
They were so
Where's Trillium located at?
I think that's Vermont, isn't it?
Is it Vermont? Because I've heard Hoof-Hearted and is starting to turn into Trillium for release days.
Exactly. I think that's
and
what
like how ridiculous it is becoming and like how long the lines are for people to get these cans. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, I just found 1,000 other beers at the beer store that I've never had before, so I'm going to go drink one of those instead of waiting.
It's just weird to have an Ohio brewery be the hot brewery.
Right, yeah, it's not normal.
Well, I think KBS Week is probably one of our biggest things, and then the 4 Elf Party is the other one.
Okay. Oh, yeah, 4 Elf,
which
is
that one I despise the whole scenario where you wait in line to get a ticket to wait in line.
Yeah, that's... I would hate that.
Like
that's life these days. You always pay to pay. Like, who doesn't pay their like cell phone bill and there's a $2 convenience fee? You go to Secretary of State or DMV or DPV or whatever you guys call it down there. Like, you pay $5 to, you know, pay your car registration.
Right.
It's the whole society is you got to pay to pay or wait to wait or do something else to do something else.
Well, I guess the thing is, I mean, as far as releases though, I mean, Perrin's No Rules release. That was a little crazy this year too.
Is that the one
for
where
good reason.
That was the one where the guy bought $5,200 worth?
Yeah,
no rules.
He was muling for an entire an entire group.
Yeah. That was kind of the thing. Is that it was like, well, we're going to call it No Rules, so there's no limit. So basically, this guy basically said, "All right, I'm heading up there." It was on one of our beer Facebook groups, and basically said, "I'm heading up there. If you want some, let me know. And I'll buy it."
Wow.
And sure enough, he went up there and you just saw dolly after dolly after dolly just going to this guy's truck. And insane. I mean, there is a picture of it where it's basically, I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen The Wire, but I mean, it's just flat out like the picture of the dope on a table. That's basically what it is. Just, you just see three, five people just sitting around there, just happy as hell, and just nothing but just cases of no rules, just sitting in the back.
Why
of the
did
truck.
Someone slash his tires? I mean, he can't leave without like.
Well, I mean, I didn't think it was anything wrong with it. I mean, it wasn't all.
If they're not
going
to have rules, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Is
it wasn't that he wasn't buying it, and you know, it's basically it was like $16-17 a bottle.
Yeah.
He wasn't buying it for that, and then turning around and saying, "All right, you can buy it, but you're going to get it for $22."
Yeah.
He was selling it to them at the cost. He wasn't even charging them for the gas to get to drive 2 hours yeah. to get there.
But isn't it like? I think the one thing about our generation and like this kind of the people that go for that is they're generally good to one another, and I just feel that's kind of that'd be a dick move to just like watch your U-Haul get loaded while everybody just stares right. at the back and weeps like the kid from the Little Giants after they get their first yard because you're taking every ounce of joy that they've ever had and you're just like laughing it up and just like checking it. Like, uh-huh. got that, you know. Just,
it's from what I saw, it seemed like there was more than enough left.
After that Rick Moranis reference, we're going to be right back with the Better on Draft Pack podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with episode 39 of the Better on Draft podcast. We are in our final segment. And definitely a fun little show we've had so far.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about the CBYs of the country, the Vermont CBYs. I guess we would say is probably the worst.
That's
the nor'easter.
The nor'easters.
Do they wear penny loafers and like t-shirts there too?
Oh yeah. Someone even said, well, one guy he came equipped with sunscreen and everything because he's done this so many times. But
so do they have helicopter parking for them?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Skate down.
But my favorite comment of when I was standing in line and this guy, and I don't tell people when I'm there, like, hey, I run a beer review website or anything because I don't want to, like.
So that's mistake number one.
Yeah, probably. But I don't want to stand out and, like, have attention on me. I don't know. I'm weird like that. But,
oh, I love attention.
But he was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'll drink a Budweiser, but I'll never pay for it. And I was like, oh, you are literally the worst kind of person I've ever met in my life.
So you're saying you'll steal it then?
Yeah, exactly. It was like if someone gives it to you.
No, if a girl walks up to him in a bar
right.
and says, here's a Budweiser, he'll take it.
He'll take it.
But I mean.
He's not going to pay for it.
But exactly.
So I mean, so, how far
did the
beard on the neck go?
All the way. There, some say it hasn't ended.
It goes right to the happy trail.
It goes, yeah, it's the, what do they call it? The, I don't even.
Like the Austin Powers.
No, I'm trying to figure out the words that they say in Step Brothers. You know, the pube stash to the beard fro.
Oh.
The beard fro to the pube stash, I believe they call it.
Something. It was exactly.
It's been a while since I've seen that.
How? It's on TNT every other day. We had this conversation about Con Air and U.S. Marshals. I remember you were here.
Oh, yeah. That's,
I remember
that's the episode.
That's
the episode.
U.S. Marshals.
That's the episode because I still want to see the full version.
See? Have you ever?
No.
See? It doesn't exist. It has been so modified for time. It starts at like minute 45.
That's the episode. Out of the brewers that we've had here, the representatives... It's the Con Air mentioning is what you remember from our...
Yes.
All right. But I had a good...
The internet is a fickle place.
I've had a good 35 to 45 second tirade on it.
Yeah,
and it was hard.
And the thing is, you're not wrong.
I was like...
No. If you were wrong, it would be something else.
He's right, you know.
Right. But what you guys will know is I literally was so excited I lost my marbles. I was like laughing into the wall at one point to not keep going.
So as we kind of continue the conversation, one of the questions that we do ask a lot of the guests that have been on here, what is your definition of craft beer?
Ooh. I'll let you answer that one first.
All right. So that's a topic we talk about fairly frequently on the show, and we've had a couple episodes on, you know, what is crafty beer, you know. I think true craft beer – the thing that I don't do is put a size limit on it, and I think that's by definition, right?
Right.
So like that's what like
6 million barrels,
you know. So there's a parameter, but I feel like it is a brewery that is making their own, you know, their own recipes, their own beer. They're making this beer. It's handmade. I don't really care how much. Like Sam Adams, I still consider Sam Adams craft beer. I know people consider them crafty. Some people don't consider them craft at all. You know, but I think as long as you are upfront about what you're doing and you are not this megalith, this multinational company.
So Blue Moon, yay or nay?
Nay. Nay.
Who else just got bought?
Lagunitas.
Yay or nay?
Yay.
So
this is scary. We do well here.
but here's the thing, like Blue Point.
Blue Point.
We were able to spend some time with Blue Point. They're out of Patch Hog.
Yes.
Just Long Island, I believe. They just came to Ohio, and they are owned by AB.
ABI. Yep.
And
we get them up here.
And so we spent time with them, and we talked to their brewmaster, who has been there before and after AB. And I think before we talked to them, at least me, I was really under the impression that, like, if you have been purchased by them, you are no longer craft. But
yeah,
talking to them, they really changed our perspective on what – there's nuance. There's nuance there.
Oh, yeah.
There's nuance between being craft beer. You're still doing your thing, even if you're owned by this big corporation that is now benefiting from you and getting you out in more places, versus being craft.
Yeah.
Right, like you're sort of like incognito, like you're playing yourself off this craft, but
so
you're
let's,
not.
Well, let's see if we can get unison because I got two more.
Okay,
yeah.
Goose Island.
Yes,
that wasn't unison.
Sorry,
one. Really.
Sorry, try that again.
No, it was too late. Ballast Point.
Yes.
So you still consider, even though being bought out by a major company, so like Elysian,
yep.
10 Barrel. I'm trying to think of. Kona,
mm-hmm.
Pretty much everyone in the Craft Beer Alliance, because Anheuser-Busch owns a minority stake in it.
Mm-hmm. I will tell you, if you really want to get super nuanced, I think there's tiers to this. So, like, Goose Island, BCBS, certainly craft beer, right? I mean, like...
People who say they don't want to drink non-craft beer still go out and wait in line for BCBS.
What's 312?
Yeah, 312.
You know, that's – I don't know. I don't
– well, and we've
the
talked –
is the pale and 312
yeah,
is the wheat.
Yeah, it's the wheat. We've talked to these people and they all say kind of the same thing. It's, yeah, we've been bought out, but we really don't see a difference in the way we run our operation day to day. I mean, like every once in a while a beer like a 312 will get brewed off-site. But that just gives them more room to do stuff like the Four Sisters program where they can do some more creative things.
But I guess, I have an injection to like brewing off-site. Is like Oscar Blues is a great craft beer still.
Yeah.
But they have expanded operations to North Carolina from, you know, Colorado to, A, have a bigger facility, but also to, you know, they're big into IPAs, they're big into pale ales, so they want to have fresher beers. So they're going to put beer in North Carolina or going to brew beer in North Carolina to get it to the east side.
Well, and they get the hop contracts.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a craft beer. So I guess I still think Blue Moon is a craft beer-ish because it's still run by Keith Villa. Like, it might be under the MillerCoors umbrella. And just like Lineker, we won't talk about that, but Keith Villa still has a major share in the direction they go.
They have all those seasonals.
But they like the reason they do First Peach was their new first seasonal like a couple years ago is because they got a hold of a great bunch of like George's First Peaches. So they did a beer. But it's still the same beer that Keith Villa made in 1985 that's being brewed today.
Yeah.
So whether you want to say it's been bought out or whatnot, I see craft beer as anything outside of those like three doors that are the macro beers,
yeah,
and that aren't like those imports in those next two doors. They're like your Beck's, your Heineken's, your Corona's, you know, everything else that you just it's like for, know, it's that's me. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
And well, for me, it's kind of all about the intentions of what they're doing, right? So people who are brewing Budweiser, who are brewing Bud Light, they're not really trying to make like a great beer for everyone.
I disagree though, because you know. As well as I do, like Budweiser is the same whether you buy it in Florida, Washington.
True.
Like they have a formula, a recipe, and they do it. So whether it's not a craft beer because it's not to a T, I think that is more to a T than pretty much any craft beer we'll ever drink.
99% consistency.
No, but I hear that. But I think more like creativity wise, like it's an adjunct lager. You know what I mean? Like if that was the only thing that some of these craft breweries were doing, I wouldn't really have.
that much respect for them if they were doing, hey, I'm going to do one adjunct lager my whole life. You know what I mean? Like, to me, craft is all about, like, it's almost, not to get too, you know, wax too poetic about it, but it's almost an art form. It's you're trying to take these ingredients. It's almost like being a chef. You're trying to take these ingredients and create something new that no one's ever had before. You're trying to be different and creative and fun. And, you know, when you have these big corporations making these beers for the sole purpose of, I'm going to sell a ton of them because they're easy to drink and people are going to get drunk off of them, I don't see that as the same kind of, like, ideology behind what craft beer is.
I mean, are you trying to say that a Lime-A-Rita isn't?
Hey, no, sure. No, it's not
but,
at all.
But I think, like, there's a difference between like Lagunitas. I think they got bought out and they use that money or they use that time to get like the distribution to where you would never get that liquid to lips.
Yeah.
Like without that money, like there's so many beers that are still coming to Michigan and are now going to be going into Ohio that aren't necessarily, you know, solely owned, but they have a stake of like Constellation or one of these big companies, and they need that money to like make a bigger brewery to put more beer in bottles to get to Ohio.
I think that's what they were talking about, why they still consider the craft umbrella is still falling under those, the Goose Island, Lagunitas, Ballast Point. All these breweries who have been bought but are still maintaining. But, you know, one of the big questions I want to ask is that how many Budweisers were, you know, returned for quality this year, and how many Bourbon Counties were returned for quality this year?
And that's a great point. And for me,
it's one bad year. Come on.
It was a very bad year.
Yeah, it was.
For me, it comes down to, at this point, craft beer, the phrase craft, is all about semantics. And at this point, does it really, for me, does it really matter? And I saw your shirt. So, like, the shirt that you're wearing, Ken, I think on the back it says something paraphrasing, like, if you like it, it's good beer.
That is correct.
And
that's the company motto. That's the
North Center Brewing.
Motto.
Okay, so, and I would never.
It's the brewery's motto, North Center Brewing.
Well, you've adopted it
sponsor.
Because, you know,
yes,
they're a sponsor.
I would never consider Bud Light to be craft beer, but at the same point, like, if you're trying to argue whether Goose is craft or not, like, at the end of the day,
right,
even with Bud Light, does, at this point, now that the craft beer bubble is expanding so much, does it even really matter what you call craft beer? I mean, I went to Walmart and got some really not good beer.
There you go.
That they have like a house brand craft.
Kirkland
now.
Kirkland's
Costco. Yeah,
it's not Kirkland.
What
it's
was it? You told me.
Matt Fat Cats, Mad Cat, Alley Cats.
I don't know.
They
Alley Cat Strike.
The old Disney
you
movie.
Spin the ball to get the 7-10 split. We all know this.
Oh my gosh, I love these guys. with a young Kaylee Cuoco.
Right. Is that who that was?
Yeah, Kaylee Cuoco.
I never even realized that.
I gotta watch it. It's Cuoco, by the way.
Cuoco, whatever.
Woku.
I will be.
No one knows. It's a stupid last name.
I will be on.
Was that on after or before Johnny Tsunami?
Probably on after Johnny Tsunami
and before Brink.
Before Brink.
Oh,
I think Brink was one of the originals.
You remember House Arrest?
Smart House.
House Arrest, where he locks all of the divorcing parents of the neighborhood in the basement to make them work it out.
Oh yes, yes, I do remember.
Where
that
the cat
one.
Is the best
that.
Actor in the entire film. The cat is the actor.
I don't know. For me, at this point, we've talked so many breweries that have been bought out. There are so many good reasons to accept a buyout.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And they're still making good beer. I don't know. To me, at this point, the parameters of what craft is has become so argumentative.
Yeah.
I think to me, it's very obvious what craft – it's like that classic what is pornography. You can't.
Oh, what is art?
Oh, wait, watch out.
You can't describe it, but you know it when you see it.
I think it's also like when you stop trying to brew beer, when you stop trying to make beer, and you just start to manufacture beer.
Yeah.
It's
exactly.
kind of that's the
break. Like, that's a good way
like,
to put it.
When you think about your beer as something to pump out there and not something to like respect and like care for, and not that the macro brewers don't,
right?
But they see beer as a
bottom line,
yeah, a way to an end.
Which
you know?
Is which
like,
is
this
why,
case is going to make me X amount of money.
Right.
Whereas I think this more importantly, the Mac or the Nano breweries, but still at the craft breweries, it's like this beer is going to add to my legacy or add to what the brand is. I think there's kind of that red line where it's money over product versus product over money.
Which is why I consider Sam Adams Craft still, because they're constantly putting out new things and trying new things and doing the homebrew competitions. Yeah. And they're, while they're huge, they're still pushing the boundaries of what they are and who they are.
And it's still really good beer.
Great beer. Yeah. So, most of it's great. Yeah.
Well, what you're talking about homebrewing competition. So yeah. Kunin just actually had a homebrewing competition.
Oh, I didn't enter.
And
I won it, actually.
Congrats.
It hasn't finished yet.
Was that with the kit that you didn't
confident.
Win?
Confident.
Exactly.
So it was a homebrewing competition. You could choose any style you wanted, but it was like a MasterChef mystery box challenge.
Oh, that's awesome.
Where they gave you two or three ingredients that you have to use and go.
Do you know what they were this year?
I want to say it was hibiscus.
Okay.
And ginger, I believe.
Actually, I think it was the old strawberry candies you find in your grandma's glove box.
It was actually 10-year-aged candy canes that nobody bought from the dollar store.
And candy corn, which has been around since 1910, as Louis Black has told us.
I would have probably...
good reference there.
I would have gone hibiscus, ginger, pilsner, probably.
Yep, I think
old-school style pills.
We had a brewery that's in the process of being open, so they're still technically home brewers.
Yeah.
They actually entered, and I believe they're doing a Goza.
Okay, a Goza, yeah.
So, Goza, Gozer.
Sorry.
Goza.
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 So, you know, for me, and obviously, you know, I might as well answer my own question because you guys had kind of gone on about it. But for me, we really, again, as you were talking about it, it's too argumentative. There is a quote-unquote set of rules, but nobody follows them.
Right.
Nobody believes in them because you don't want me to come to you and say Lagunitas is not a craft beer and then, you know, because that's just, you know, it's pretty much not true.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you just dismiss whatever craft beer is.
Yeah.
And say, well, that's dumb.
You just can't define it at that. If you put it in a box, it just doesn't work.
I agree, but I think that's why we live in such a bubble society group of people who just want to shit on everyone else.
Exactly.
And I emphasize that is that it's that whole I'm going to bring you down to make me feel better. Mm-hmm. Oh, you've never had this vintage 2006 barrel-aged 4-elf that was aged in 30% whiskey, 20% gin, 14% rum.
And I mean, it doesn't even have to go that far. I mean, hell, my buddy went to the store the other day and he bought 2 6-packs of Shorts, strawberry shorts cake.
So good.
Posted it on the group. And, I mean, everybody just felt – I was like, all right, I'm just going to unload every bit of diarrhea I have on him right now. And just people just shit on him. Yeah. I'm like, dude, like, just like well, it or leave it alone.
It's the same thing when Oberon Day comes now.
Oh, goodness.
Oberon Day is the worst.
Did you guys get Oberon Day in Ohio?
No, we just end up getting Oberon, and it's amazing, and I love it. I'm so sorry. I love Oberon. I think it's great.
I like Oberon, too. I think it's definitely not as good as it used to be, but I think it's a great, smooth, easy-drinking summer beer.
Yeah.
You can drink a bunch
good for the golf course.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't golf, so.
Disc golf course.
I can't drink when I disc golf.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Too much movement.
I smoke a cigar.
Okay. No, I thought you were going to say you smoke something else, which would make sense.
Yeah,
for disc golf. But no, I smoke a nice stogie, maybe two.
Do you like cut it open, like take out the tobacco?
No,
and
I don't buy any Swisher Sweets, all right?
They make White Owls, too, and Philly Blunts.
Black Backwoods or whatever.
You only need 2 zigzags. Don't you remember this? We went over this.
We're talking strategy now.
We're talking tobacco, Indian tobacco right. that you can get.
Oh, so there's one question I was thinking about because I don't know what it is, but every time we have somebody in here, I have Nick the Brewer in my head. So one of the things that he had asked us once before is that if you had one beer in your fridge and it was the last one that you could possibly ever have for the rest of your life, what beer would it be that if somebody took it that you seriously would have to punch them in the face?
Or you would cut them.
All right.
It's a thinking one.
So it is and it isn't. We always talk about we've had one beer that almost was religious for us. And it
a come to Jesus moment.
Yes, it was a come to Jesus moment. And the first time it hit my lips, it was like almost crying. And that was prop, BCBS prop, proprietors. And I took, it was the 2015 edition. And I just remember like literally trying that and not knowing how to respond because it was so good. So I think if I ever were to find a bottle of that again and someone took it, I would probably punch him in the face.
There's been that description I've had a few times with beer here, like the Moscow Mule that we had.
Yeah.
It's like I'm drinking it. I'm like, somebody else talk. I'm drinking this.
Right. I can't
concentrate on what you're saying. I need to concentrate on this drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Ron?
Oh, man. I mean, as far as like world universe class beers go, then yeah.
It doesn't have to be universe class beer. Corey, it just has to be something that you could never drink again that you would want to drink.
I think if I could never drink it again, and I would be really upset if you took it from me.
There's no replacement. That's got to be a beer that has no
replacement. You live on Mars, and this was the last shipment of beer.
The last shipment.
You live on NAT. You're calling NASA and say, send me
Matt Damon? Did we leave him here?
Yeah. And he only gets to eat potatoes
with it. They can send me a beer, but they can't come get me.
Yeah, I think. Okay.
That sounds about right.
All right.
Hey, every 8 months, I'll send you a beer.
And it's a pretty attainable beer at this point.
Doesn't matter.
But I think if I could only have one beer, and if you took it, I'd be like so sad about it. I think I'm going to go Deschutes Fresh Squeezed.
That's a good one, too. That is a great one.
Have you guys tried? Have you guys had Hop Trip?
Not yet. No.
No.
I've had Hop See You Next Fall.
Hop Trip is like the first batch that goes into Fresh Squeezed. Like literally, they drive a truck to the hop fields. I mean, you know Fresh Squeezed is like the freshest. But Hop Trip is like the beginning of Fresh Squeeze.
Okay.
Like it's that one window where it's like legit, like only sell it for like a month and a half.
Okay.
And it's just the juiciest, most amazing.
Yeah.
You'll only get in like August. It'll be here in a couple months.
I think Fresh Squeeze to me is probably the most reliable, just rock solid IPA I've ever had.
Yeah, and I completely agree with
you guys. Pinner? Oscar Blues Pinner?
I've never had it.
Yeah.
Are you okay there?
No, I'm not. Because this is why I'm sad for Ohio.
Nothing wrong with Ohio.
Okay. Blasphemy, by the way.
Except the snow and the rain.
Oh, you guys get just as much snow and rain.
If not more.
But our people can drive in the snow and rain at times. Yours never can.
I should have played that song, too.
I want to go buy you a 12-pack of Pinner and send it home with you. Like, Pinner and
No, don't buy us beer. No.
Pinner and Fresh Squeezed are, like, if I was alone on a desert island and left with Pinner.
That's your one?
It would be that-ish.
Okay. That-ish.
Fresh Squeezed would be, like, 1B to it. Because it's, like, I'm an IPA guy. I'm more of a session IPA guy, so I'm kind of, like, down the totem pole. But it's not burn your tongue IPA, like you can never taste anything else, but it's full flavor, it's juicy, it's every sip is better than the sip before it.
Yeah.
Oscar Blues Pinner is like life altering.
Yeah.
And Hop Trip from Deschutes, which is the fresher version of the Fresh Squeezed, is in the exact same realm where you're just like, whoa, what have I been doing with my life? Why have I not been here?
Well, now we got to look that one up because Deschutes just came to Ohio last year and a half ago.
Yeah,
just came back to this side of Michigan last October.
About the same time Deanna came.
So
here.
we were real pumped to get Fresh Squeezed. I mean that's a good choice. Really, I mean if you're gonna really go like IPA. just like a everyday IPA, my God, that's good.
Yeah,
because we had on one of the very first shows we had the anniversary.
And Ken hated it.
The Black Butte. Oh no!
Oh no! Oh, it was Black Butte. Okay.
The Black Butte anniversary. Ken loved it then. Yes.
The first time I had it, I got in a beer trade before it got to Ohio, and I said, I mean, it was a game changer. It's like, oh my God, this is good.
Yeah,
the thing,
and then now it's here, it's just as good.
I think that's the thing about IPAs. There's like your high hop IPAs, like your green flashes that are just like so scalding in your tongue, and then you have those IPAs that are so well balanced that are like, it's almost like they're humble.
they know they're hot forward, but they're not going to like punch you in the mouth with it. Mm-hmm. And you can have another one and another one.
Well, that's the thing is everybody wants that punch you in the mouth.
But they don't. I think
people want hot flavor, not hot bitterness.
I think people like we had that.
Have you ever drank Devil Dancer?
I hate Devil Dancer. We both did not like it. I have a couple agings because I know in like a year it's going to be good.
I'm not mad enough for Devil Dancer.
I think that was like it's like poker. You remember like Poker 2000 where everyone wanted to be the next Chris Moneymaker? And they wanted to have those like cool sunglasses.
Right.
And they all bought chips. They thought they could make it the thing. But only the people that were really into poker stuck around and they played and they got good at it. I think the same thing with IPA is like there was a big flash in the pan where you wanted to be the brave guy who could drink like Lafrique from Green Flash. It's 103 IBUs where literally you have one sip of it and you won't even have you won't even taste mouthwash for a week. But then you find something like a Hop Trip or a Pinner or a Fresh Squeeze where you can drink this 70 IBU, but it's so well balanced. It's juicy from those fresh squeezed hops. It's not like hot pellets. You can just drink it all day and enjoy it and like really take the sensation of those hops and just appreciate like a great craft beer.
Yeah. Well, you know where you're going to be able to get a lot of those beers too.
Zatuna Liquor.
No. Three Nick Scoreboard.
Three Nick Scoreboard.
Well, I can't get it as Zatuna Liquor.
We already got like two Zatuna Liquors.
Right.
So definitely a place like you guys are in Toledo, and it's probably about a 30-minute drive from you. But Three Nick Scoreboard in Allen Park, really, really good. If they're doing what they did last year, like this year, they're going to do a Bourbon County release party where it's $20 for two. I want to say it's 9-ounce pours, but you can show up any time within a week and get your pours.
Oh, wow.
So you buy a ticket, and then you show up, and you get your drinks. And you don't have to wait in line. You don't have to be like, oh, no, are they going to run out by the time we get there? They have they're very, very short in regards to the amount of tickets that they sell. So they sell, like, 60 tickets for an entire, you know, eighth barrel or whatever they get. And then, sure enough, you know, after that, then they'll tap it for the public. But again, you have 1 week to show up to drink your beers. And it's not a bad idea. Their food's dirt cheap, too. Like, I remember getting a half-pound burger, fries, and a 23-ounce of Miller Lite for, like, $6.
Jeez. That's wrong with, that's wrong with the Miller Lite just alone.
Oh, yeah. The Miller
Lite. Like,
23-ounce Miller Lite, that's $4.55.
So we ran a little bit over on time, but that's going to do it. Brew Review Crew, how do we find you? Where do we find you?
We are all over the web. You can find us at Twitter at brewreviewcrew.com, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Everything is /Brew Review Crew.
Do you have a Snapchat?
We don't. We were just talking about we should do
that.
We
don't have a Snapchat. We have an Instagram. Right now, we're really high on the
OK Cupid profile.
Soon.
Hey.
Soon. We're working
on
it.
Don't hit on that. I mean, they have an Uncle Carl, obviously.
but that's it. We're all over the web, everywhere at Brew Review Crew.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for here. Once again, Matt, thank you for joining us and
Ken,
filling in.
Ken, thanks for having me still.
Always. Rob, I guess you're the only person I might as well say thank you for showing up as you do every week. And remember, no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a good night.